From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled The Psalm of the Word, part of a series based on Psalm 138. The text, the closing phrase of verse 2, states, For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In seeking to discover the application of the expression, thy word, Dr. Cairns has first pointed to the Bible itself, God's most explicit way of revealing himself to men. Then, this expression may be a reference to the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said of Christ, In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ was the God-man, demonstrating by his miraculous works that he was indeed God manifested in the flesh. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called No Fear of Death. The text is found in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The first death we must endure, unless the Lord should suddenly come to his temple. For this let us abide in readiness, awaiting it without fear, since Jesus has transformed death from a dreary cavern into a passage leading to glory. The thing to be feared is not the first, but the second death, not the parting of the soul from the body, but the final separation of the entire man from God. This is death indeed. This death kills all peace, joy, happiness, hope. When God is gone, all is gone. Such a death is far worse than ceasing to be. It is existence without the life which makes existence worth the having. Now, if by God's grace we fight on to the end and conquer in the glorious war, no second death can lay its chill finger upon us. We shall have no fear of death and hell, for we shall receive a crown of life which fadeth not away. How this nerves us for the fight! Eternal life is worth a life's battle. To escape the hurt of the second death is a thing worth struggling for throughout a lifetime. Lord, give us faith, so that we may overcome, and then grant us grace to remain unharmed, though sin and Satan dog our heels.
When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity, conflict seize your soul.
But just think of stepping ashore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air.
Death can be,
And the Savior's nail-scarred hand will lead you to the light, for death is swallowed up in victory.
But just think of stepping ashore and finding it heaven, of touching a
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
You'll find this book deals with subjects that are not dealt with anywhere else. You can look at the heavens all day. You can examine the earth all night. You can go into any branch of scientific investigation, even with a heart that's looking for God. And there are things there that you can never discover. They have nothing to say about the way of salvation from sin. They have nothing to say about the doctrine of substitution and atonement. They have nothing to reveal to us about God's way of justifying the ungodly by uniting them to Christ and imputing their sin to Him and His righteousness to them. This is a more excellent revelation. It's also more explicit. Obviously, in Scripture, there are things hard to be understood. But all truth that's necessary to the salvation of the soul is clearly to be understood. It's beyond any difficulty of grasping. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That speaks of clarity, what theologians call the perspicuity of Scripture. Later in that psalm, in verse 130, the psalmist said, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." So everything that we need to know is explicitly set down here. Now, I have to say, I am mightily delighted about that. I'm delighted about that. You see, I have to confess that I have a very, very limited intelligence and a very, very narrow focus of ability to grasp and understand. I love to read theology. I hated reading physics and chemistry. I read more of them since I left school than when I was at school. Now, all you physicists and chemists and all the rest, don't take it to your... I'm not saying anything about you. You enjoy it. I remember having... They tried to make us astronomers. They did. I hated every minute of it. I don't know why. They tried to teach us biology. I learned my head from my feet, and that, I think, was about the end of it. I learned which end to sit on. Sometimes I didn't know where to put it, for I sat in my spectacles and got them in the wrong end of my anatomy. Biology and anatomy and all, they tried to teach, but I must say, if my getting to heaven depended on my ability in learning scientific disciplines, I would be in a mess. Furthermore, who would I believe? But thank God I come to a word that is clear and plain, so straightforward in all its essentials, so explicit that even I can't misunderstand it. And if you're not saved today, it's not because you can't understand the way of salvation. Don't kid yourself. If you're not saved today, it's not because there's not enough light to convince your mind. It is rather because, like the rest of the ungodly, you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil. And that's simple truth. It's explicit. It's more established than any other way of revealing God. We have read today of a more sure, a more confirmed word of prophecy. The great thing about Scripture is that it carries its own evidences within it. I remember my dad telling me that where he worked, he had a character there who thought that he was an intellectual, and he was an intellectual atheist. And he was the fellow who said, my father asked him one day, tongue in cheek, "Is there anything you don't know?" And he thought he was serious, and he considered it very seriously for 10 seconds and said, "No, I don't think so." He thought he knew it all. He was an atheist. He loved to mock the Bible. He slandered the Bible. It says a book of talks about adultery and sin and fornication and murder and violence. This is a book, and I have seen this argument spouted out by other haters of Scripture. This is a book that if you were going to X-rate anything, you would put it on the X-rated list. My dad was not an educated man. Well, he was a self-educated man, let me put it that way. A more widely read person I have rarely met. A self-educated man, but he had a lot of wisdom. And he looked at him and he said, "Will you answer me one question? Why then do all the godly people love it and all the ungodly people hate it? Why is it if it's such a book that people like you are not lining up to read it the way they read every other filthy thing? And he didn't have a word to say, because when you read this book, its evidence is that it is the pure and the holy Word of God. And unlike any other book, when other books deal with murder and violence and adultery and perversion and sodomy and sin, they do it in such a way that stirs the lust of the human heart to those very things. When this book deals with those things, it convinces man of his sin. It crushes the heart under the weight of the guilt of these things, and it elevates the soul to seek for God's mercy and God's grace. This is God's full and final revelation. And it's established clearly as such, carrying its evidences within it. It's more enduring than any other way. Heaven and earth will pass away, said Jesus, but my words shall never pass away. Thank God, though, men have tried to make it pass away. In the very early days, men tried to corrupt its text. Gnostics rewrote part of its text. We have now polluting the bookshelves of every major bookstore around the nation. We have these so-called secret gospels, these blasphemies against Jesus Christ, people who sought to corrupt the text, corrupt the message, people who tried to ban the Bible, burn the Bible, pollute the Bible, bring it up to what they called higher criticism. Strange name, really. I understand why it's called higher criticism, but it's ironic that it's from the depths of hell when it comes to attack the Word of God. Let me tell you, my friend, despite it all, the Bible stands. And like the three men of whom Daniel speaks, the three Hebrews in the furnace, here's a Bible that has been in the furnace, and thank God there's not even the smell of the fire about it. It's as pure and holy, uncorrupted and unbroken as ever it was, more enduring and, thank God, more effective. God has spoken in creation, yes. But in exhibiting his perfections, in declaring his will, in manifesting his grace, and in demonstrating his power, there's nothing to compare with this book. Sure, I look at the power of God in the heavens and the wisdom of God in the heavens. But then I come and I look at a poor, vile, guilty sinner, and I see the power and the wisdom of God in saving such. I think it's ironic that it was Charles Darwin himself who in 1833 visited the South Sea Islands. And there he came across a race of cannibals who were so low, so corrupted, so animalistic, that to him they appeared subhuman. They were beyond being elevated. In fact, I think it would be true to say that Darwin at first looked on them as the link between man and the lower species. That was 1833. He didn't revisit those islands for 34 years. And in 1867, he returned and could not believe his eyes. Those same cannibals, for the most part, were now clothed. They were civilized, they were hymn singing, they were praying, they were worshiping, they were loving. The reason John G. Patton's ministry and preaching Christ, opening up the Bible. So moved indeed was Darwin that he immediately made a very generous gift to the Missionary Society. Praise indeed, from a most unexpected source. Praise indeed. There's nothing more effective than God's word. Thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. But that word may refer, of course, to the incarnate word. And if it does, we take it that way, then the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of the glory of God. You remember the words of John in John chapter 1? We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6, where he tells us that the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. To the Colossians in chapter 2 he writes that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, because verse 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus himself said wonderful words to Philip in John 14, 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You see, here in Christ, all the perfections of God are embodied in a person. A person who walked among us. A person who belongs to history. A person who was true man, true flesh and blood. A person who is still accessible to us. In him, God and man, two distinct natures, but one indivisible person for all eternity. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here we see all the divine attributes in operation. Do you want to see the power of God? Then see Jesus. This brings creation out of the realm of what's called ontology. You know, we read, in the beginning God created. That's as much as I can know about that. That's not an action witnessed by any mortal being. It's why it's beyond the realm of scientific investigation. It is not a reproducible act in any laboratory of man. So, here's something that brings creation out of that realm to something that touches our lives. See the Lord Jesus standing in the open heathland, the hills overlooking the Sea of Galilee. See him surrounded by thousands of starving people, wearied out with a long journey and a long day. And he takes 5 loaves and he breaks them. Now, this is not magic, but it is mystery. Those 5 loaves had a specific content. All the ingredients were measured and limited. You break 5 little loaves. You mustn't understand big loaves with about 40 slices. You must understand 5 little rolls that would be, hardly rolls even, more like flat things that would be for one little boy to eat at one sitting. You break them. What have you got? You've got 5 loaves broken with all the goodness in the world. You couldn't make more than 1 or 2 people be satisfied, even for a day or for a half a day or for half an hour with them. But as he broke, he gave and he gave and he gave and he gave. And 5,000 men besides women and children were fed to the full, and 12 baskets full were left that weren't eaten. There's power and there's creation in the hands of the Savior.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.